He'll figure it out.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way, and we're excited for another day of grace. We're excited that you are here with us in the flesh, and the people that are not here in the flesh, they're in the spirit. But we also know that you're looking at me a different way here. I do apologize, I didn't bring the tripod. And I also want to make mention that when we do our recordings, it's simulated live each week on our webpage. So the reason by doing that, we noticed last week or week before, we was going to do a live broadcast, but the Prince and Power of the Air, which is electricity, which is run by who? Who's the Prince and Power of the Air, guys?
Satan.
They would not allow us to open up the app, wouldn't allow us to have
strong Wi-Fi.
So this is one of the reasons why we tape it and then we put it on their website as if it's live. So that's what we're doing here. We're going to sing a song. If you have your red book, we're going to sing Onward Christian Soldier. I guess I better put it on. 181 page. We'll sing three of them. Choir didn't show up this week, but the piano player did. So we'll sing one, two, and three.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle to see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus.
Flag and you're marching down the hall and that type of thing. So anyway, we are soldiers for Christ, and we also ambassadors for Christ, so we got a mission to go on here. And we just know it's exciting to know that in the dispensation of grace, God is dispensing what?
Grace.
Grace and mercy.
Long-suffering.
And peace and long-suffering. He's not dispensing wrath and judgment. And you think about that sometimes when you think about looking at man, man can place judgment on you, can't they? And wrath on you, and you're like, ah. But the one thing about Lord Jesus Christ, who we are in, with him, it makes a world of difference. We're studying the Word of God, rightly divided, and we're going through the chart, the timeline of fundamentals of dispensationalism, and we do thank Grace School of Bible for the curriculum that they provide, and along with the King James Bible for the English-speaking people. Before we get started, I want you to take the book of Acts. Get the book of Acts. Every once in a while, I like to do this. Take the book of Acts in one hand, and the book of Romans through Philemon in the other hand. I want you to fold them under. And it should be like this in your Bible. It's hard to do with that tablet.
Yeah.
Oh. So if you have your Bibles and it looks like this, what does that look like to you? Okay. Out of God's word, there's out of his heart. There's a redemption plan for mankind today. And this is where you're going to find about what God's will is today, how to be saved today. And everybody go like this, but this is what it looks like. So I do apologize, but anyway, on the left side of that heart, what do we know that to be?
Old Testament.
And what do we call it? Times past. And then you have but now, and then you have ages to come on side of that. But today, in the dispensation of grace, when you're studying the Word of God, if you want to know God's will, you find it right there. Period. And that's what very, very important in this age that we are in, because everything's out here in this world seems pleasing, don't it? And I tell people all the time, when you're driving, when you're learning how to drive and you pull up to a stop sign, What are some things that you do when you pull up to a stop sign? What do?
Stop
them, naturally. But what else do you do?
Look both ways.
Which way do you look first?
Left,
and then what?
Right,
and then what?
Left.
Left again. Why do you look left again? Some of you may not look at all.
That's in case someone comes.
Because things appear faster on the left than it does on the right. And if you don't believe that, just try it sometime. But the thing is, when you're looking at the Word of God and you know where you're at dispensationally, you look left to where you've been times past, you look right to ages to come, but you better look left again, because what appears faster to you in your religious thinking is times past. Everybody wants you to be in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Everybody wants to say this is what you need to do. And you're like, you know, you do a double take in that sense. My encouragement to you and those that are listening is to understand the Word of God. You got to know where you're at. And this is where you're at in the Bible, and the timeline is but now. Got times past, ages come, and but now. But we're in lesson 58, and we talked about we was talking about last lesson about progressive revelation. And in order to establish a category or a progress revelation are some things you need to remember. Integrity of progressive revelation is maintained by certain rules. Rule number one, for those who are taking notes, all the Bible has to say on a subject must be taken into consideration. Every reference is a subject must be gathered and considered as a whole. Number two, No one verse contains the whole truth on a given theme. You don't take this one verse and that's the whole theme of the Bible. Now, we do take 2 Timothy 2:15 to say what? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the only book, only verse in the Bible that would tell you what to do, how to do it, and where to do it. Then number three, each verse is a part of the whole and is not to be interpreted apart from the whole. Number four, interpret it. I'm going to go through this kind of fast, but we're going to go back over some of it. Number four, interpret the obscure in the light of the clear. You will hear this over and over and over. There's some obscure verses there, and there's some clear verses there. So you take the clear to overcome the obscure, if I'm pronouncing that right. Then number five is the first mention principle should be observed. Number six, no verse is to be used to contradict or violate any other doctrine or clear truth in the Bible. People do that all the time. Use no verse of the doctrine progressively reveals or verses interpreted in light of that to overthrow something else that is clear. If you find something clear back here and it seems like it overthrows that, you're not supposed to do that because it will mess you up, because we're you know, progressively as you go through the Bible, God told things back here in Adam. We looked at the last week about the seed of a woman, and we worked through the seed and the death and burial resurrection. Number seven, every verse must be understood in light of its own. Accurate time measurements. That's what you want to do. And one part of the past is not to be read into another part of the past. In John chapter 1, and Mark 28. John chapter 1. Mark 28. John chapter 1.
There is no 28 in the Bible.
Matthew 28. Sorry, guys. Thank you. I thought I was going to use head version there for a little bit. Matthew 28 and John. John chapter 1, verse 31. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bared record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and above abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. He says, and I knew him not, but he that should be made manifest to Israel, therefore I am come baptizing with water. You see that, don't you? Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Verse 16 says, and then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee upon the mountain where Jesus was appointed to him. Anybody else go up there with him? Did the church that started at Pentecost, was they up there with him?
No.
Was all the followers up there with him?
No.
Only what?
11.
So where does that leave you and I?
We're not there.
And by the way, if there's only 11, where's the 12th one?
He hasn't been elected yet.
Okay, there was Judas that died, right? Killed himself. 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the what?
Holy Ghost.
You cannot use John chapter 1, verses 31 through 33 to say that the baptism is only Jewish. And a lot of folks do, don't they? Do you think about what I'm saying right now? And John, right, he's baptizing. Mm-hmm. And if that was true, what about what we just read in Matthew 28, where baptism is for who? What does nations mean?
Gentiles.
Everyone.
So if Jewish baptism was only for them and John, what about Matthew? Okay? It's to go to what? All nations. Baptism is not Jewish. It's associated with Israel's kingdom. See, this is where you got to say, oh, ooh, now it's making a little sense. We always said it's Jewish. It's a kingdom ordinance, not a Jewish ordinance. And it will apply to Gentiles in the kingdom just as it applies to Israel in the kingdom. So when they're over here in this kingdom program, everybody's going to be baptized. Okay? Let me throw this at you. If I say it again, I might repeat myself. What about baptism today?
Not me.
In the Spirit.
But is it for everybody?
Everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. Why wouldn't that baptism of ours be for everybody?
Right.
To get in that kingdom. Now, just as a priest had to be washed and the water to separate him and made him holy in order to function in a priesthood right here. Moses told him that you're going to be a kingdom of what? Priest. A holy okay, and they're going to be, that's what they wanted, they needed to be here. The priests had to get it right first. And by the way, Israel had to get it right first before you could give it to anybody else. And I think they was doing that for a while. Israel would have to be baptized with water to be set itself apart as the holy nation. And just as the sacrifices Israel brought to God was washed and cleansed, And so the unclean nation has to be washed and cleansed to be brought into that kingdom. It's a kingdom ordinance. Therefore, we do not take one thing and forget about the rest. And many of us have. You're Jewish? Are you being baptized? Are you being a kingdom of priests? People baptize you today in water and not realize what it's for.
Right.
Okay, over here, they're going to be doing it as an ordinance to get in that kingdom. The second thing we studied was that the past is not to be read into the future, in the present. You do not take the law and read it into grace, do you? You do not put the past into us today. Right. And when you people do, if you really think about when people put you under a law system, they're controlling you. They're putting that thumb down on you and saying, we want you to do this, we want you to do that. Listen, in the dispensation of grace, you want to do it, you want to be here, you want to be a part of this ministry, you want to be doing what you need to be. Why? Because I put you under law?
No.
Do I make you feel guilty? Hey, I can make you feel guilty pretty quick. My wife will tell you that. You can make anybody feel guilty to get them to do things that you want to do. But do you do it out of a pure heart? Listen, I would much rather have you here because you want to be here than make you feel guilty like, oh man, I got to go to church today. Ed's going to be mad at me. You know, I'm not performing what Ed wants me to perform. It ain't about Ed. It's about Christ in you making the difference. And Christ in you would say, whoa, I want to change because I want to serve the living God, for one, and he's living inside of me, and I'm inside of him, and I can think the way he thinks. Your perspective changes. You know that. Listen, there's a lot of people, I don't consider this, there's a lot of people come through these doors that we'd be full right now. And because we don't put people under law, or do this and do that, ordinances, a lot of people like that. They like the stained glass. They like to pat at pews. They like to be told what to do. You ever notice that? Mm-hmm. And when you say, hey, you got liberty in Christ Jesus. Christ, well, we always say people pulls up in the church parking lot, unscrews their head and puts it in the glove box, walks in there headless and sits there and goes, and they're amused. And then the preacher races down there to shake your hand. Good message, preacher. You ever have asked them, say, well, what did he preach? What did I preach about? I don't know, but it was good. You know, they don't know. They're just there. And they go out there and they put their head back on there and they go about the merry way thinking, well, I got religious today. Their church is full of that stuff. But listen, we teach grace. And not only the grace, not only the right division part of it, many of you get this, but it's the grace life. That's the hardest part once you're saved, is living the grace life, allowing God to work inside of you, allowing God to show grace to other things and other people and all that. That's hard. You know, there's some things that we want this ministry to take off like wildfire. But if you don't have the people with you, what do you do? Do you give up? No, you just sit there and you stay who you are and all that. Third, the present is not to be read into the past. We do not take who we are and the way things work today and require them to be the way it was in the past. One of the greatest mistakes people make is to look at our position in Christ and our understanding of who we are with the doctrines, our security, and claim it back here in Israel. Now, I will tell you this. I believe that once the salvation was always by grace. Once you believe God, God counted as righteousness. But the reward side of it for Israel was different from our reward side of it. They had to perform to get rewards. Because why? They was in the flesh. People want to see who you are.
But you require a sign.
And do you think about today when you tell people, you know, I'm a Christian. Yeah, sure you are. Let's see if he's going to stumble and fall. We stumble and fall every day. You know what I mean? But you don't lose that position of who you are in Christ. Amen? Mm-hmm. You know, that's settled, forever settled. Fourth, the future is not to be read into the present. There are things that are true in the tribulation are not to be brought back and to make it true for us today. That is the kingdom now theology or the dominion theology. People say right now, you know, you look at this and bring it back over here. They build churches on that stuff. And I don't like to give you dates and stuff, but today, many predict that the rapture is going to take place. Now, I don't know what time, maybe 6:05. If you're not gone by 6:05, then it ain't going to happen. But people predict that all the time. They've been predicting it 88, 08, all these years. But what does God tell you to do? Does God, in Paul's epistles, when he talks about the catching away, the mystery program, that God will send from heaven with the shout of archangel and those in Christ will rise first, where do you find that at? Do you find that what Paul pinpoints in times past?
No.
Can you find something that referenced to almost like a catching away rapture in Matthew 23, 24, what people say is the catching of the way, church? Have you ever read that? Mm-hmm. Let's look at that for a second. We've got some time. Hold off on that. Just remind me of that. We'll move on. Number five. Part of the future is not to be read into another part of the future. You don't take the rapture and make it the revelation of Christ in glory. You don't take the judgment seat of Christ and make it the judgment of the nations just because it's judgment. And I think many of us has, and many people still do, think, oh, well, he's talking about a judgment. The only judgment we're talking about is over here the Great White Throne judgment. So that's got to be it. And do not read the present into the future. So we leave things where they belong dispensationally. Now, I'm a dispensationalist. Our church is a dispensationalist. Our church is called Dispensational Bible Church. Wonder where you got that word from. Get it out of the Bible. I believe God is a dispensationalist. Okay? Don't slam that door, honey. The camera's over there by the door. If it falls, then I'll just keep preaching. You just have to look at some words on the bottom of the thing. But anyway, to illustrate it now through the passage, go to 2 Thessalonians. That 2 Thessalonians. I had a cousin. We was talking about that rapture, and it's supposed to be taking part today, and the red heifers are showing up in Gentile farms for Israelites. You know that not to be true. But the thing is, she talked about this. I said, it's not going to happen. And I've got this verse we're going to. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Now, Thessalonians had a problem. People was going to them saying the resurrection already happened. The rapture already happened. And Paul had to write to them. And the expression day of Christ is a problem for some people, because in the next verse it says, for the day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And he goes on down to describe the coming of the Antichrist. Now, people's out there today saying that we're in that time period. Where's the Antichrist?
Yeah, that's awesome.
No, it's not Joe Biden.
It was supposed to.
No, it's not Obama. No, it's not Donald J. Trump. It's not any person in the United States of America that's run this country. If you follow Daniel, and we had Daniel, Daniel talks very clear about when this time period is going to happen. So there's some things that's got to take place before the Antichrist shows up. And that tells us the commentaries that they really ought to be the day of the Lord. That's what they say. Well, the day of Christ, we'll go over a couple things with you. What is the day of Christ? There's two or three ways you can think about this. The day of Christ, what is the day of Christ, and the day of the Lord? The term of Christ, the day of Christ, appears three times in your scriptures. Just like that, day of Christ. Would you know where they're at? Would you know who wrote them? I'll give you a hint. Who?
Paul.
Very good. Paul. Paul is the only one who talks about the day of Christ in reference to this. You find it in Corinthians, you find it in Philippians, and we may look at that a little bit. But if somebody's going to talk about something at hand, if somebody's going to expose something that was revealed to him, he would tell you about it. So, in Philippians 1, get Philippians 1, and 1 Corinthians 1. Philippians 1, he says this, verse 10. Philippians 1, verse 10. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. See that?
Mm-hmm.
The day of Christ is a future event associated with the body of Christ. Not the kingdom saints, the body of Christ. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. You still got your hand in Thessalonians, right?
You mean Corinthians?
You still got your hand in 2 Thessalonians, right?
No.
Okay, you got, well, you should have. I didn't tell you to leave there. I just said you turn. We're going back to 2 Thessalonians. Not yet, but we're going to, okay? I told you Corinthians. You got more than one fingers and all that stuff, right? Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul desires to hold forth the word of life so that you can rejoice in a future day. Do you have the word life in with you right now?
Yes.
Hold forth the word of life. Hold forth the sound words. You have to have these words to have joy. If you take these words, you rip those words away from you, you have nothing. You should have it in your heart. But you know what I'm talking about? People tried to destroy this Bible over the years, hadn't they? 2 Thessalonians, you're there. Chapter 2, verse 2 says, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by the word, nor by the letter from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Paul tells the church in Thessalonians not to be troubled, as the day of Christ is at hand. There's also another term, Paul, that refers to the same event as the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And only Paul uses that term 3 times in the scriptures. The day has that same subject, result, and purpose as the day of Christ. So if you went the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the same purpose. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Who shall also confirm you until the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? The end is of that day when the body of Christ is taken off this earth. Chapter 5, verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't say Jesus Christ.
Or Lord Jesus. Thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 14. As also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. There are 3 other terms related to the same period of time, but they are not the same as the day of Christ or the day of the Lord Jesus. The Lord's Day is mentioned in one time in the Scriptures, and that's Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, and it refers to a period of time about which John prophesied over here. One time does it say that. The Day of the Lord is mentioned in 24 passages. The term is used one time by Paul as a time of judgment upon God's enemies. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 2. For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Verse 3. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Who is Paul talking about when he says they and them? In that verse we've been talking about.
Israel, right?
Saints in the ages to come. He's talking about those people that will be living during the day of the Lord, not the body of Christ.
Right.
Right? So we're out of here. The redemption body has been taking place when he catches us out of here, but there are going to be people here, left here, and guess what's going to happen? The day of the Lord's going to take place. Mm-hmm. Paul gives assurance to the believer that the day will not affect us. So when you talk to people out there and they see that, oh, we're in tribulation period, all this stuff is coming down, you know, and they, you know, churches are full of people and they're telling people, it's coming, wrath is coming upon you. That's not what Paul's saying. Paul's telling Thessalonians, you're not going to be here. So if he tells the Thessalonians, which is part of the body of Christ, and Paul's their apostle, would he not be telling you the same thing? Mm-hmm. People's made millions of dollars with books, movies, TV shows about keeping you here in fear. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. Or I want to go. I want to go. I don't want to stay here. But the thing is, in your dispensation of grace, how do you get out of not going over there?
Saved.
You get saved. You got a gospel today. Paul gives assurance to the believer. The term day of the Lord emphasized is the period of judgment. When it is used in the Old Testament, it describes the day as the time of judgment and darkness. It's not going to be a happy time. Not going to be a happy time. There is no hope given there, guys. When you're standing in front of that judgment seat right over here, that's for sinners and non-believers. And it's not going to be a pretty scene. But you've got a gospel today that Christ died for your sins, buried, rose again. You trust that and that alone. He takes you out of here. He's done saved, sealed, and sanctified you. And the redemption body is being taken out of here. It's being redeemed. And then he gives you to, judgment seat of Christ is there. And then you're judged for the rewards. And then he takes you and presents you to God the Father. And God the Father dispenses you out in the universe. We'll talk about that a little bit. The day of Christ and the day of the Lord Jesus Christ have to do with rewards upon the body of Christ. The day of Christ and the day of the Lord Jesus Christ holds the key to understanding 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 1 through 17. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and a man of sin be revealed, and a son of perdition. Now, you can might look out there right now and think, there's a falling away happening right now. There's a falling away going on when Paul's days was going on. The churches that he established and put them by grace through faith plus nothing else, they was falling away from the faith. You don't see that happening today. That's why we got 423 members here today, right? No, they're falling away every day. But hey, has a man of sin been revealed yet? That's something traditional.
Well, dispensation, it's like
it's over there.
Yeah, it's in one verse.
So the glance, at first glance, it appears the church will be on the earth when the Antichrist shows up. That's why people say that. We're going to be here. We're going to be here. So the Antichrist is going to be, my cousin's like, the Antichrist has been exposed. I'm like, where is he? His system of worship's been going on since Babylon. We looked at that last week. Mm-hmm. That system has not changed. That system of him wanting to be God of this world, God, he's already known as the Prince of Power of the Air. He controls the first and second heaven. He's also known as God of this world with a little g. He owns this earth. And Adam gave him the deed of that. And if people don't think he's powerful, you're fooling yourself. He convinced Israel to follow him. The light, they're supposed to be a light. They're darkness right now. That system is powerful, guys. And if this is true, it means the church is on earth in at least part of that tribulation period. Now, how many of you know
teaches that the church is going to be over here.
Yeah, I know.
Probably
not tribulation, mid rupture.
Not. So we're called pre-trib. Then there's a mid-trib resurrection. Sorry, then there's a post-trib. Okay? I don't have a water bottle.
It's okay.
You do have one.
I know, but it's okay. By the time you go get it, I'll be finished.
That's a long walk to the truck.
She just wants you to see what a real preacher does with water and drink it, right? Anyway, that would say that, and a lot of people say you're going to go in that tribulation. That's error. There's no distinction between Israel and the body of Christ, and that would make the Bible contradict itself. If the body of Christ is on earth when the man of sin is revealed, it will also be in the events of the book of Revelation. What do we know about Hebrews through Revelation? Who are they to?
Israel.
They're also known as church epistles. We went over that. So Hebrews, the church, the kingdom church is going to take those epistles right there and know exactly what we're talking about, what they talk about, same as we take Romans through Philemon and know exactly what we should be talking about. If that makes sense. Prophetic commas, Matthew 17, verse 11. Matthew 17. Matthew 17. We got a few more verses to go. I don't get to see you guys, but this time during the week, most of the time, so. You gotta go. If not, well, I'll still be here for a little bit. Matthew 17. It's still early. Matthew 17, verse 11. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Verse 12. But I say unto you that Elias has come already, and they knew him not. Okay. Let me ask you this. Has all things been restored?
Mm-mm.
He said Elijah must come first, and then he says Elias has come. Has all things been restored?
No.
There's been over 2,000 years in the gap there between the commas Elias truly first shall come first and restore all things. But he's going to show up over there. He does come. Isaiah 61, we're looking at little commas here a little bit. Isaiah 61, we'll tie all this in together shortly. Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, verse 2. Well, verse 1 says, The Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me, because the Lord hath appointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance, and of our God, to comfort what?
All that mourn.
When you read that, go to Luke chapter 4.
do you believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he is?
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that he's part of the third part of the Trinity?
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that in the beginning God created the heaven and earth and all that? You believe that his word is true? You believe that with faith,
yes.
Right? You have it in your hands, that you have the word of God. And what did he say over there? That the vengeance and stuff was going to come. And he was there to proclaim good news, right?
He stopped.
When does he show up? He shows up at the right time. He's born at the right time. And he does everything right on schedule. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as his custom was. He went into the synagogue, and on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the deliverance to the captive, recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Now, where did you just read that at?
Isaiah.
Okay. So where did they say he opened it up at?
Isaiah. Still here.
You think that was a big mistake? Was he not there to heal the brokenhearted, to preach peace, to bring...
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Verse 19. To preach the acceptable of the year of the Lord, period. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue was fastened upon him. What happened in verse 19?
He stopped short of reading the rest of it.
It's a period.
It would have brought on the second coming.
What he leave out?
The vengeance of the Lord.
He left out the wrath. It was postponed.
Mm-hmm.
And so he preached the acceptable year of the Lord. The person who ignores the commas in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and believes the day of Christ is merely a synonym of the day of the Lord fails to rightly divide the word of truth. This is serious, guys. You may not have rubbed elbows with people and toe, but some people will spiritually fight you over this because they don't want to admit what Paul is dealing with is a pre-trib rapture. And that is one of the doctrinal things that I draw a line with. You have lines and you have thin red lines, right? There's a thin red line that you say, I don't cross. You know, that type of thing. The day of Christ is only used by Apostle Paul and can only apply to the body of Christ. It begins with the rapture of the church and includes in the judgment seat of Christ and the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose for the body of Christ. Paul tells Timothy that the appearing is that day when those that love his appearance will receive a crown of righteousness. All this stuff is going to go and play up there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Get 2 Timothy chapter 4 and Colossians chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 4. He says that, we're going to verse 5 right quick. Well, let me read verse 1. We've got a few minutes. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reproof, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap unto themselves teachers, having itching ears. Boy, does that ever happen today. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall turn into what?
Fables.
But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous God, shall give me at that day, and not only me, but unto all them also that love his what?
Appearing.
Paul writes to the church of Thessalonians early in his ministry, and the day of Christ was not intimate. But later he writes to Timothy and tells him that all of Asia had left him. And all of Asia left him, and only Luke was with him. Now, I'm going to share this. Being a minister is a lonely life sometimes. When you think people's with you, and you turn and they're not with you, that's discouraging and lonely. Lonely. Paul did the same thing. Imagine Paul writing 13 epistles, more books than anybody else in the whole Bible, established these churches, and he says, all of Asia has turned against me. No one stood with me except the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, would you rather have Lord Jesus Christ with you or a bunch of fake people all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Right? We know the answer to that. There was a great falling away from his gospel. He had been preached to every creature under heaven. I said 1 Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. If you continue in faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, was made a minister. That might be hard for some to understand, but that verse says the gospel. Which gospel would that be? Would Paul preach the kingdom gospel that was preached in time past? Did Paul's preach a gospel that's going to be preached in ages to come? Did Paul preach the gospel of the kingdom? Did he preach the gospel of circumcision?
No.
He preached the gospel of the uncircumcision. He preached the gospel of the grace of God. And his gospel has been preached to every creature under heaven. And you might think, how's that so? I remember the other brother Walt. He's like, how can that be? I never heard it. Well, the thing is, it was preached one time, but what happens over the years? If you got people's wanting itchy ears, and you got people falling away and departing from the faith, are they going to teach you the same thing Paul's teaching you right now?
No.
That's how it got a falling away. You with me?
Satan doesn't take a day off.
2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, where he says, verse 15. This thou knowest, that all that which was in Asia be turned away from me, of whom of Phileas and
Hermogenes.
When Paul tells about the rapture in his first letter in Thessalonians, he uses the term we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. He knew only one thing that needed to happen for the great event to take place. What would that be?
Fullness of the Gentiles coming.
Not unfullness.
Rapture.
Well, that's what he's talking about. If the next thing that had to take place is the great falling away. Now that has happened. Now that has happened. The rapture is intimate. So they can't be. We can't be. Well, I can't say we can't. We can be taken away at any time. What I'm trying to say is this. Nowhere in Paul's epistles does he nail down a time,
right,
a date, an hour, a sunrise, a sunset, that the catching away is going to take place. Nowhere he says that. But you, in a prophetic program, you can nail down a lot of things. So if there was a falling, what I'm getting at, there's been a falling away. And there's been departing. But what has not taken place?
Rapture.
Rapture was one. But if we have not been raptured out of here, and these things take place, what's the next thing that's supposed to be taking place?
The temple.
Tribulation.
And that Christ.
What is
judgment?
Nope. Keep going. We just read it a few minutes ago. The man of sin. Has he been revealed? He's not been revealed. So a lot of those things, the day of Christ, the day of the Lord, except they be a fallen away first, the man of sin be revealed. And then that wicked be revealed. So all these things that we looked at the day of Christ, when we appeared in glory, the days and things that you got to look at is the fact that we're not in that period. And if Thessalonians was the first book that Paul wrote, some say Thessalonians, some say Galatians, makes no difference to me. One of them talks about the catching away, the other one talks about going back under law. Both of them, awesome books. If Thessalonians is the first book that he wrote, and he's talking about the catching away, and he's talking, and it ain't happened yet, and then he says, Timothy, all has departed from me. You would think that he's waiting for the rapture to happen. But he tells them, what did he tell them? I told you these things in Thessalonians. And there's a thing supposed to happen. So when you go out there today and you're faced with things about the prophetic program, just be mindful of who you are in Christ. And know that Paul wrote some letters referring to a pre-trib. My cousin said, oh, so you believe in a pre-trib? I said, absolutely. And I gave her these verses. So it's very, very important to understand that we're called out here first before all that takes place.
Amen. Okay.
If it wasn't, there would be tribulation and wrath. And God, through his word, tells me he saved me from that wrath. That's a hope, isn't it? Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Next week we'll be picking this back up again on some things, but we do thank you for tuning in. And if you want to help out with the ministries, just give us a call, an email. Always good to be encouraged with your cards and letters. And we'll be thinking about you until next week.